Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're looking at the story of Abraham today. Hopefully you got the handout and you can follow along there. We've used these questions before. Whenever we read God's Word, we want to do it not just as an intellectual exercise, not just to satisfy our curiosity, not just because it's supposed to be good, so I better do it. We want to read God's Word because it is living and active, because God is continuing to speak through it to us. And when we read God's Word, we want to be aware of what God is calling us to as we read that Word. We are always encountering the living God when we read His Word. And there is always some kind of a response that we are being called to as we read the Scriptures. So we have these four questions. What's the story? It helps us to dig into the text and really understand what it is we are reading. What does it actually say? The second question is, where does this fit into the big picture? Where does this fit into the whole story of the Bible and even the whole story of God's work throughout human history? And then, because the whole Bible is essentially about Jesus, we always want to ask, where do we see Jesus in this? Where does this story connect us to Jesus? And the final one, where do I connect to this story? Or how am I being called to respond to this? Right? So the writer James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. So every time we encounter God's word, we always want to be asking ourselves, what am I being called to do? And what way am I being called to respond to this account from God? So with that in mind, I'm going to kind of work through and model the first three, and then we'll all participate together on number four, the how to respond and the where do we fit into this story. Okay, so the story of Abraham we're looking at today, roughly that period of the chapters from Genesis 12 up until the binding of Isaac. Isaac, that will be our focus next Sunday. And the basic story is this. Hopefully you read it last week and this week. But the basic story is this. God calls to this one man, Abraham, who is, Joshua, the book of Joshua tells us, is a pagan, a heathen. He does not, before God speaks to him, know the one true God. We know from archaeology that the area of Ur of the Chaldeans, they worshipped the moon gods and goddesses. So God calls this pagan man and says, go to the land I will show you. God calls this man, and during these chapters, seven different times, he ushers to this man promises, very, very special promises. We have a few of them. We have the three of them recorded for us right in the opening verses of chapter 12. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. A little while later, after Abram travels from Ur to Haran and then to the Promised Land, it says that in Genesis 12, verse 6 and 7, that the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So what is repeated several times to Abraham and later to his descendants are these core promises. One, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Right? One time he takes him out and he has him look at the stars in the sky. Right? Another time he says, the dust of the earth, so shall your offspring be. I'll make you into a great nation. The second one, we see when he shows up and he takes him to the land of Canaan and says, your descendants will inherit this land. So a promise to receive that land as their possession. And then the third key promise that really all of these are leading to and working towards is the blessing of the nations through Abraham and his offspring, right? All nations will be blessed through you. Those are the key promises. And you have one above them all kind of guarding and defending them. And that is God's promise that he will bless those who bless Abraham and he will curse those who curse him. So behind these core promises, God gives his own promise of provision and protection for Abraham and his descendants. He will make him into a great nation. He will give him the land to his descendants, and all nations will be blessed through him. And God will add his own protection and provision, his own blessing to Abraham and his descendants to make sure that those things happen. Right? This whole period is a span of many, many years, right? Sometime before the age of 75, God appeared to Abram. 25 years after God appeared to Abram at the age of 75, when he settles in the land of Canaan, finally then, Abram and Sarah have a son, the child of the promise, Isaac. This is a long period of time. A long period of time where Abraham and Sarah are waiting on God to see him fulfill his promises. And what's the reality? The reality is they only begin to see glimpses of the fulfillment of these promises, right? At the end of Abraham's life, what does he have as far as this great nation? He has a son, and I do believe he sees the grandsons, Jacob and Esau. That's what he's got. Hardly yet a great nation. At the end of his life, he just sees the beginning of the fulfillment of that. At the end of his life, how much of the promised land does he possess? Not a lot. Just the plot of ground that he buried his wife Sarah in. Isaac, not anymore. Jacob, not anymore. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 sons, not one of them fully possesses the land God promises to them at their death. It would take over 400 years before the then great nation of Israel would finally come and take possession of this land, right? And that's the part of the bigger story. Where does this fit into the bigger picture? God giving his promises to Abraham. We see here, first of all, we see another time where God jumps into human history and does a reset, right? We saw that right away in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, God had created this beautiful, perfect, flawless world. Everything is good. The creation of man and woman in the image of God, it's very good. But what happens? They turn against God. But does he scrap the human project? No. He presses reset. He gives them a promise that there would be an heir, a descendant that would defeat the work of the devil that tempted them. Their children reproduce, and the human project continues till we get to Genesis 6, and man's heart is only evil all the time. And what does God do? He jumps in with a reset, and he wipes out humanity, but he spares in his grace Noah and his family, and he gives them a promise. Now we've seen the Tower of Babel come. We've seen the nations scattered. And once again, God intervenes and resets and refocuses according to his plan before the creation of the world and calls this man Abraham. And the whole rest of the Old Testament is the story of God's working through the descendants of Abraham, preserving this remnant through which he will bring blessing to the nations. And how does he bring blessing to the nations? Through Jesus, right? If you open up Matthew's gospel, you see the genealogy. Abraham down to David, down to Jesus. When God says to Abraham, through your offspring, I will bless all peoples, the New Testament makes it very, very clear that he's talking about Jesus. Through Jesus, not just the people, the biological descendants of Abraham are blessed, but all people. For Jesus takes in himself the sins of every last man, woman, and child, yours and mine as well, and pays the full penalty for them on the cross, and brings the blessings of forgiveness and reconciliation with God. And with his resurrection from the dead, it brings the blessing of the promise of everlasting life, the restoration of all of creation. If you look at this verse down on the bottom there, Romans 4:13, we realize that God's promise of the land is not just about that tiny little strip of land in Palestine, modern day Israel. It's bigger than that. Paul tells us that Abraham was not just an heir of that little strip of land, but that Abraham was what? An heir of the world. An heir of the world. That little strip of land, the promised land, was a placeholder, was a part of the whole that was promised to Abraham and all of his descendants. It's much bigger than that little dusty strip of land. Abraham, his descendants would be heirs of the whole world. So the new heavens and the new earth, the restoration of all of the creation that will come about when our Lord Jesus returns from heaven. So that's the big picture. That's where this fits in. And it's, you can see it's absolutely crucial. It's absolutely central to this whole plan. That's where we begin to see Jesus in here. He is the fulfillment of these promises. He is the one who brings these promises to completion, right? And he's still today working through those promises. So with all of that, it takes us to our fourth question, right? Our fourth question, where do I connect with this story? And how do I respond? So now it's your turn. So with all of this in mind, the story of Abraham, we've seen how it fits into the whole story of the Bible and the whole story of human history. We see Jesus at the absolute center of that. We could even add this. We could say that Abraham itself is kind of a prefigurement of Jesus. Abraham was a man who trusted God's word and obeyed his word. But he did so imperfectly, right? If you've read the stories, you read the whole sordid thing with Hagar and Sarah. You read his pilgrimage to Egypt and how that didn't work out particularly great. His pilgrimage to Philistia and how that didn't work out particularly great. Abram was a man of faith and obedience, but was still a flawed individual. But he points ahead to the ultimate man of faith and obedience, the one who perfectly obeyed his father and who flawlessly answered the call of God, Jesus himself, right? Was completely obedient to his father's will. So what do we do with this? How might God be asking us to respond to what he has revealed to us in this story of Abraham and his promises? What do you say? What are some ways, where do you see yourself fit into this story? Where do you connect into this story? And how might God be asking you to respond to it?
He wants us to have faith for as many years as he did, just not give up all the time. You
to do it. Okay. Excellent. So the key word there was faith, and that's great. I'm glad you went right to that. Definitely. I think that from this passage, for sure, God is calling us to faith. He's calling us to trust him. And you specifically talked about for the long haul, right? For the whole of our lives. Even when we don't see the promises of God, we don't see them fulfilled. That we cling to those promises and persevere and not take things, as Abraham often did, into his own hands to work things out his own way. So here might be for us a call to faith, a call to trust God, right? And isn't he worthy of our trust? Is he a God who promises one thing and then delivers another? No. He does what he promises again and again and again. Did he eventually bring about this great nation promised to Abraham? Absolutely. Did he give them the promised land? Absolutely. Did he bring blessing to the nations through Jesus? Absolutely. God does what he promises. You can trust him. What else? Kevin. All right. Yeah. So a call to patience. Faith and patience often go together, right? God's timing, very different than my own, right? In chapter 17, I believe, he says to Abraham and Sarah, kings will come from your body. David doesn't show up for about 1,000 years. Peter tells us, 2 Peter 3, God is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness, right? God is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Rather, he tells us that for God, the eternal one, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. So there's definitely a call to patience here, to persevering in faith, no matter what we see happening around us, to be patient with ourselves, with God's timing, with our situation in life, and to continue to persevere, trusting God's promises no matter what. What else do you see? Heidi had a hand up. Okay, so with a sense of gratitude, right? As heirs of this promise, look down at the handout on the bottom there. Galatians 3:29. This is part of the where do I connect with the story. What does Paul tell us here? If you've got the paper with you, let's read that aloud together. Galatians 3:29 on the bottom of the page under related verses, right? Out loud together. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, right? If you belong to Christ, if you have faith in Jesus, if you have been baptized into his name, then you are the seed of Abraham. You are Abraham's descendant, not maybe biologically, but because you have the faith of Abraham, because you are clinging to the God of Abraham and the promises of this God. And he says that you are heirs of those promises. So those promises that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God makes also to you. We also live under that blessing of Abraham. And that should inspire gratitude, right? That we have been, for those of us who are pure Gentiles, right? Not at all biologically connected to Abraham, that we've been grafted in to the family of God through Jesus. That our sins have been forgiven, that we are counted as God's people, that we have an everlasting inheritance, that we also with Abraham are heirs of the new heaven, the new earth, our home of righteousness. This should absolutely fill us with joy and gratitude. What else? How else might God be calling us to respond here? Paul.
We don't just listen to the call, but we respond.
Okay, he might be calling us to respond to that call, a sense of yes, of trust, but with trust comes obedience, right? Faith and good works go hand in hand. Faith moves us into action. To response, right? To responding to God. What else do we see? What other things? How else do we fit into this story? Where do you see a call to respond?
Mark. First point, leave your country, your people, your property. Leave everything behind. And if you're being encouraged to make that step to go and change everything.
If you read through the scriptures, you realize something I think that's very important. We have the blessing of Abraham. We are heirs of these same promises. And we also actually have the same situation as Abraham. Peter calls us aliens and strangers, foreigners, sojourners, people who do not have this as their permanent residence. Where does Paul tell us our citizenship is? It's in heaven. It's in heaven. When Jesus calls to follow him, we are called to not cling as much to the things of this world, for they are temporary and passing away. We are sojourners passing through. Our homeland is still yet to come, the renewed heavens and the renewed earth. So we wander also as aliens and strangers here, not clinging to the things around us. Knowing that our security is found in God and his promises, and not in family, not in nation, not in provisions around us. Our security is in God and his promises. Good. Anything else? Any other responses that God might be calling forth from us from this? Yes? Yeah. Hope, right? Hope. The scriptures tell us to always set our hopes fully on the grace to be given when Jesus Christ is revealed from heaven. Abraham never got in his life the fulfillment of these promises, right? He was always looking ahead. The writer of the Hebrews makes it really clear. Read Hebrews 11. He was always looking ahead to a different city beyond the promised land, the heavenly one, the one whose foundations are from God. That is our hope. That is what we fix our eyes on, not on earthly things, but on those things that are revealed to us when Christ is revealed from the heavens. We are called to be a people of hope, not to live in despair or discouragement, to push that aside, but to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and to live in hope. Good stuff. Good job, people of God. You saw a lot of really important good things there. Let's pray together. Lord God, holy and blessed Father, thank you. Thank you for your word preserved through the ages. Thank you that you still speak to us through it. Thank you for your Spirit's work among us even now, even this morning. Thank you for the gifts of faith and hope. Thank you for your promises that continue to encourage us and inspire us. Thank you that we have been made your people. Thank you that your blessing rests on us and we are heirs with Abraham. Lord, strengthen our faith, deepen our hope, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, and help us, even as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were called to be a blessing, help us also to be a blessing to our neighbors, even to the ends of the world, that through us, they might also know the hope that we have in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.